Hello, this is Against the Tide TV from Poland. My name is Hanna Jasgarska and my special guest today is Mr. Bill Browder, a well-known entrepreneur and political activist engaged in campaigns against Vladimir Putin and authoritarian Russia, who has started a fight with authoritarian Russia through fighting oligarchs. Welcome, sir. It's an honor and privilege to have you in our TV.
Great to be here.
Sir, you have called recently, you have called the Russian war a distraction war, the war against Ukraine. Can you explain what you meant by that?
So I've spent a number of years in my own conflict with Vladimir Putin. And what I've learned over those years is that the Russian government has basically is not a government like any other government. The people in the government steal money as their primary and only objective. And over 22 years, Vladimir Putin and the people around him have stolen what I estimate to be $1 trillion. That's $1,000 billion from the Russian state. That's money that should have been spent on hospitals, on schools, on roads. Instead, was spent on yachts, private jets, villas, etc. And after 22 years of this, people get upset. The Russian people just think they deserve better. They think that they should not have all these people stealing everything from them. And Vladimir Putin understood that this was a very brittle situation, which could very quickly disintegrate into some type of uprising. And it's not a very hard thing to imagine. If you look at what happened in Kazakhstan in January of this year, where the Kazakh people rose up against their kleptocratic dictator. And so what does a dictator do when he's faced with this fear of his own people? He starts a war. And I believe that the war in Ukraine is not about NATO enlargement. It's not about Russia trying to rebuild an empire. It's about Vladimir Putin trying to take people's anger away from him and place that anger, the Russian people's anger, towards a foreign enemy.
And do you think, because you're saying that Putin's trying to, in a way, divert the attention of the Russian people to extend to foreign affairs, do you think that the Russian people really will follow that? Or do you think that some kind of fundamental change in Russia is possible right now?
Well, I think that in the very short term, Putin has achieved his objectives. If you look at the his approval ratings, they've gone skyrocketed since he started this war. He's whipped up the domestic population into a frenzy, a nationalistic, violent frenzy, where they're all very much in favor of what he's doing. Now, that doesn't mean that this feeling is permanent. He has to keep it going. And one of the things that could easily cause his own situation to melt down is if he loses the war. If for some reason the Ukrainians are successful in driving out the Russian military, That will change the domestic population's view of Putin. The Russian people have great capacity for pain. They've got great capacity to tolerate human rights abuse. But what they have no capacity for is a weak leader. And so if Putin in any way is seen to be weak or ineffective, that could very much change the situation.
And what's your take on the West's response to what is happening in Ukraine right now?
Well, my feeling is that the West is pretty good. The response is pretty good. And I should say that I'm generally not one to compliment the West or Western governments, because many times they've been very bad in relation to government and to Russia. But in this particular case, there's two fundamental things that need to be done. One is to supply military equipment to Ukraine so they can fight off the Russians. And the second thing is to deprive Russia of the financial resources to fight this war. And the West has done a pretty good job. I mean, there's a much better job that can be done. more. I would say that at this point, the West has given Ukraine enough equipment to not lose the war, but they need more equipment, long-range artillery, anti-tank, anti-boat, anti-everything missiles, so that the Ukraine can actually win the war. And we've also done a very good job of imposing sanctions, although the sanctions could be expanded. And most importantly, there's still an enormous amount of money that's going into the Russian budget every day from the sale of oil and gas.
And we know that there are two wars going on right now, a military one and also the information one. How is the West fighting the second one?
Well, the information war is, I would say, Russia's not doing so well this time around in the West. And so if you remember, like when Russia invaded Georgia back in 2008, they created such confusion about what happened that half the people in the world thought that somehow that war was Georgia's fault. Very successful information operation. Russians took over Crimea and eastern Ukraine in 2014, they somehow convinced the whole world that these were just individuals in eastern Ukraine. These were revolutionaries. They called them Russian-backed separatists instead of blaming it on Russia, which is what it was. And this time around, Russia would have tried to do the same thing. But early on in this process, the United States and Great Britain and other countries basically came out for 2 months in advance of the invasion and said, Russia's going to invade. Russia's going to invade. Russia's going to invade. And by the time it actually happened, all of the misinformation, disinformation that Russia was going to throw out there didn't really work. And so for the first time, we actually have a clear narrative about what happened. And why is that so important? Because there are many countries that have historically not wanted to punish Putin for doing the bad stuff that he's done. Countries like Germany, for example, or Hungary. And this time around, none of these countries could say anything because the war, it was so obvious, brazen, and aggressive what Putin was doing, and there was no alternative explanation. So I would say that the information war is definitely not being won by Russia this time around, which I think is in many ways what contributes to the weapons and the sanctions that we just discussed.
Sir, we can see that, well, China amplifies Russian disinformation. For example, one of the key narratives for Moscow, but also for Beijing, is the idea that NATO is the aggressor in this war. And China also expressed opposition to sanctions against Russia. How do you see China's role in this war?
Well, I think China's role is not a good role, as far as we're concerned. But I should point out that it doesn't really matter what China says, because it's not like they have to convince their own population of anything. It's a dictatorship. It's an authoritarian regime. And so they can make up whatever narrative they want. It's not going to change our view in the West. And it's not like they have to support a democracy and convince their people that they're doing the right thing. But having said that, China is playing a very pernicious role in this whole story. As much as we try to cut off Russia economically, China is offering them a lifeline by offering to buy their oil and gas. And then China is also giving them air cover at places like the United Nations and other international bodies. And so China's definitely a malicious player in this. And they also have impact on a lot of what I call non-aligned countries. Like in Africa, China is extremely important player because they've gone or sprinkled their money around various African countries. And so I think you'll find a lot of non-aligned countries in Africa and various other places will continue to support Putin in this war, not because they have any particular view, but because China is involved.
You waged a war to expose the corrupt officials behind the death of your associate Sergei Magnitsky, and recently you have also published a book, Freezing Order, a true story of Russian money laundering, state-sponsored murder, and surviving Vladimir Putin's wrath, which explains, in a way, also your journey after Magnitsky's killers. Can you tell our viewers who Sergei Magnitsky was and also what the Magnitsky Act is?
Sergei Magnitsky was my lawyer in Russia back in the early 2000s. In 2005, I was expelled from Russia. I was the largest foreign investor. I was expelled for exposing corruption. I hired Sergei to help me figure it all out, and he discovered that the bunch of people, the police officers who were involved in having me expelled and then raiding my office, were involved in a complex fraud, a $230 million fraud in which the $230 million of my company paid in taxes to the Russian government was stolen from the Russian government. He exposed this crime, and after exposing it and testifying against the officials involved, he was subsequently arrested, tortured for 358 days, and murdered on November 16th, 2009. And since his murder, I've made it my life's work to go after the people who killed him, make sure they face justice. And for the last 12 and a half years since he was killed, that's what I've been doing. And that's culminated in a piece of legislation called the Magnitsky Act, which has been passed in the United States, Britain, Canada, European Union, Australia, and a few other countries. And the Magnitsky Act freezes the assets and bans the visas of people who commit gross human rights abuses. It's named after my lawyer, Sergei Magnitsky. And it's one of the main things that Putin hates about Western policy. And it's one of the main tools and the templates that's been used to sanction the Russian oligarchs now.
We, of course, also hope for those people to face justice. And, sir, what do you think are the most urgent steps that the West should take now to defeat Putin?
Well, I think that the most important steps are to stop purchasing oil and gas from Russia. To the extent that the supplies can be diversified, to the extent that they can be replaced with other alternative energies, to the extent that one can just consume less energy, all these things will lead to a collapse in the oil price. And if that were to happen, then I think you end up in a situation where Putin really is on his knees.
And, sir, the list of Putin's victims is very long. In Poland, we include it in 2010 Smolensk crash that killed the president, Lech Kaczynski, and 95 other people. What is your opinion about it, and could Putin be behind that?
Yeah, I think that when I saw that plane going down, it was obvious in my mind that this was a Russian operation. These things don't happen. It was such a fluke. The fact that the president, who Putin didn't like, and the whole cabinet is, I don't have any inside information on how this terrorist act was carried out, but I think that the very strong likelihood that Russia was behind it.
So last question for me. RTV is also watched by the Ukrainian people. We hosted a former acting president of Ukraine, Oleksandr Turchynov. And what is your message to them?
Well, I thank you to the Ukrainian people for standing between the West and Russia and giving your lives for this cause. If the Russians are started with Ukraine and are moving towards the rest of the world, and Ukraine is the one buffer between us and them, and Ukrainians are dying on a daily basis, and the sacrifice that's being made to stand up to Russia is something that we all owe Ukraine a deep debt of gratitude for.
Sir, thank you very much for this conversation. My special guest today was Bill Browder. Thank you, sir, for your time.
Thank you.
See you soon.